the water and sanitation sector in this country has been under threat due to widespread corruption. Now, Corruption Watch has released a report called Money Down the Drain, and corruption in South Africa's water sector looks exactly at that issue as a report. It also looked at specific examples and case studies of what went wrong. I'm joined on the line right now by the author of the report, who's also the former Director General of the Water Affairs Department, Mike Miller, and I'm sure that that gave him a particular window into the goings on in the department. Mike, good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. You are, of course, a professor, as we know. What were your overall findings in this?
Geraint, good afternoon to you and your listeners. I think the overall finding, and this is the reason that we've done the report, is that corruption in the water sector, which we all hear about, you know, this project was rigged and that project failed, but the corruption has become systemic. That means it's occurring everywhere. It's affecting lots of different places and lots of different people. And because of that, we felt it was really important to begin to get to grips with the problem, because it's denying actually millions of people safe and effective water supplies and sanitation. And we can't allow that to carry on.
I mean, that's a fair point indeed. Can you just explain to us how severe the impact is of what's happened in that department, that ministry, in the last few years, Prof?
Well, the first thing to say is it's not just in the department. We have plenty of examples of things happening in municipalities, in water boards, as well as in the department. And that's the problem. You know, if there was just one point where there was a problem, we could focus action on it. But for instance, in the department, we know that there was 4 billion rand of expenditure which was irregular. Now, you know, irregular expenditure might be you didn't comply with the rules. But in this case, it was spent on, for instance, the War on Leaks program, which didn't tap any leaks, gave, you know, a few stipends to a couple of students, often sort of months and months late, but also dispersed lots of money to service providers who were a bit invisible, and we wanted to know where this money went to if it didn't help fix leaks. Similarly, the other half of that 4 billion went to what was supposed to be in 2009, an emergency project because there was a drought in Guyana, in Limpopo. 10 years later, just about, we hear that they've spent 2.5 billion. The water is still not getting to the people, and now they want an extra 10 billion to finish the project. Those are the kind of things that, you know, at national level really upset one. But then at a local level, we hear from KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest, and Limpopo, we hear about municipalities using tankers to supply water in areas where there's piped water. And people tell us, and it's documented, that actually municipal officials sometimes sabotage the water system because they or their friends own water tankers, and they get SAF contracts to supply water, which comes once a week for people who used to get water through the pipes daily. And the list just goes on and on and on. And, you know, as a country, we can't afford to see something as important as water destroyed in this kind of way.
Yes. I mean, does your investigation reveal who the individuals are behind this corruption, Prof?
The point of this investigation was not to go into detail. Heaven help us, we've got an SIU, we've got an NPA, we've got departmental inquiries, we've got SCOPA, the Auditor General. They've all documented these cases individually. What we tried to do in this report was to show how how the virus of corruption has actually spread through the sector to different municipalities, to different water boards in the national department. And we have to work out how we can stop the spread of this virus of corruption. And the point about showing how deep-rooted it is to focus the attention where it needs to be on the kind of action necessary to, say, immunize at least the water sector against corruption. Because we can't have people, in some cases, literally dying because they get ill. We can't have people losing their jobs, which has happened, whether it's in Lekwa and Standerton, where the Clan William Dam has been delayed for 5 years in the Western Cape, in Nelson Mandela Bay, where people were laid off work because the water supply was failing. We can't lose lives and jobs because some people want to corruptly make money out of water. And we've said, at least water. Let's make it an island of integrity. Let's just put a ring fence around it and say, in this area, we do not want to see corrupt activity. We do not want to see corrupt officials. And we think we can mobilize public action. The professionals in this field want to get involved because they're tired of seeing this important sector so badly managed. We think that the civil society organizations who are concerned about corruption will join in. And let's try and clean up at least this little corner of South Africa.
So let me ask you this in terms of the recommendations you've made, Prof, because they are quite detailed. What do you believe can be done to mitigate the damage done to the water and sanitation sector?
You know, some of these are very general. One of the problems is we have the Auditor General and Special Investigation Units doing their investigations and scope holding hearings, but then there's no consequence. We really have to start seeing consequences, which includes putting people in jail and as well as fining them and dismissing them. A little bit is happening, but not nearly enough. We've got to help people to see what is going on. You know, there used to be something called the green drop and the blue drop and the no drop report, which told people in municipalities, this is whether your water is safe and reliably supplied. This is what's happening to your sanitation. Is your water treatment works working? Are you actually getting a sanitation service? This is whether your municipality is losing all the water or is actually managing its water losses. But those programs, the blue, green, and no-drop reports, were stopped partly, we think, because they were showing up the impact of corruption. So we want to see those monitoring reports. We want to see full transparency of them. Then we can actually mobilize media and civil society to chase the people responsible. But one of the key recommendations is that, when we say, you can't have effective water supply if you don't appoint honest and ethical and committed leaders to run the organizations responsible. And we have to ask the question, why in the Department of Water did they on average have one director general every 11 months over the past 10 years? Mm. You can't keep changing leadership like that and hope to run an effective institution. So we believe there are interventions that can ensure that appointments at that sort of level are done honestly and that we get the right people in the right job and to do it properly.
Prof, do you get the sense that the will exists to reform this department, or is it just another one of those government departments to which senior government leaders are just turning a blind eye at the moment?
You know, I think everyone realizes that water is one of those services that you really can't do without. You can do without electricity for a day or two. You can, you know, read by candlelight. You can cook on paraffin. But if you don't have clean and safe water and enough of it, life gets very difficult. And we actually do believe that there are plenty of people in government who recognize that. But we have to start shining a spotlight on the problems and demanding, and this is as civil society, as media, as individual citizens, that they take appropriate action. And the first action is to put the right people in the right places to do the right jobs. And we hope that this will be one outcome of the pressure. There is certainly appetite in some parts of government, but you know, everyone's worried about embarrassing the other one. This is these are political problems. And in fact, what we've also found and we comment on in the report is that part of the problem appears to be that corruption in the water sector is driven by politicians who need money for their political campaigns. And we can't run politics by turning off people's taps. I mean, this is just unthinkable. But I can tell you this is certainly what's happening. We have evidence that more money is stolen close to elections than at other times. And one has to assume that it's being used to fund election campaigns and factional fights inside political parties. We can't run a country like this.
Prof, thank you so much for that. Very detailed report indeed arising out of the Professor Mike Miller's work. He is, of course, a visiting professor at the School of Governance at WITS, and his report is entitled Money Down the Drain, Corruption in South Africa's Water Sector. Very important conversation indeed, and something that I don't think we've been focusing on enough, this issue of water. If we think we're having problems with electricity, water is potentially going to become the next nightmare in this country.